Today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're joined by Kyle, our president and CEO, to talk about the evolution of IT support. So we're talking AI and implementing it into help desk. So Kyle, can you give us some examples? What does this mean for help desk? What does it mean to have an AI component to your IT support?
Sure. Yeah, it's a broad question, but like any other use case of the AI side of it, it's about the augmentative side of it. It's how do you drive a lot of information and have it assist to speed up resolution time is ultimately where we're looking to leverage its side of it. As you look through, if you think on like IT support, for example, and pretty much any other help desk side of it, you got a wealth of information and the knowledge is a wealth of information and past tickets. There's also a lot of other information around what else is going on as far as, are there other tickets like this that are coming in, more recent side of it. For a person to go through and do those things obviously would take a lot of time, and on the volume of tickets come in, it may not even be practical, which it winds up in most cases being. So the support person just deals with pretty much what's in front of them, and or they go off and research on their own. To augment that with AI, the AI can automatically be doing those things and recognizing it and flag and identify trends. It can flag those, say we have other instance tickets that have come in that have the same problem that are all currently open. There's the information in the relevant knowledge base that's past tickets. This has been the resolution. So just to bring things much faster with the ultimate outcome of being quicker and better service for the requester of the ticket. And yeah, that's what we're all trying to aim for with it.
Yeah. So I've experienced in the help desk before, I've experienced a knowledge base and a chat bot. So what is really bringing it to that next level beyond just a little helpful chat bot? What really moves it into that AI, that different higher level?
Sure. Yeah. So there's that end user consumable side of the AI, the kind of self-service side of it. It's kind of what you're alluding to. And that's an obvious use case where you can have virtual agents and those other sides combined to it. But it's the augmentative side, again, of the person on the support desk or the people on the support desk being assisted by the AI with the data insight side of it. It's that data aggregator that we're really leveraging the most value side of it. Let's give you like a use case example for the new support desk side of it. AI is involved on every ticket that comes through, and whether it's known or unknown, it is having an active role that's participating in every support ticket at this point. So as a ticket comes in, it'll look at the information in the ticket as far as what is a summary and then what are the details of the ticket. It's doing AI insights into that ticket automatically and presenting to the support agent side of it. And hey, these other tickets are out there. Here's possible resolutions for the ticket that I've found. And once they service it, the AI is looking at tonality. It's trying to understand is the user frustrated or are they neutral? Or are they happy? Those sides of it. So it's cluing into a number of things that gives deeper insight that, again, a typical, you know, a person working on the support ticket traditionally wouldn't have gone through all those iterations or spent all that time. But it's automatic. It's happening within seconds. It's running against those sides of it. And then even once a ticket closed, the AI is doing analysis of the ticket for us to determine, should this be a charge of style service or not? And we have the AI reviewing those things to say, if the agent updated a ticket, for example, to say, well, I left a voicemail. If they errantly flag that as a charge to the customer, the AI will see that and it will automatically change it to say that is a not billed. So it's learning and applying thinking to those sides that, again, would require a supervisor or somebody else to catch on those sides. So it's just a tremendous time saver, really, at the end of the day. And it is giving you that high level assistance with just a lot of information that's coming.
Oh, yeah. For sure. You kind of talked a little bit about the benefits, especially for the agent, the person who's working. You know, things are working faster for them. They're getting that extra support and that insight. And then also the customer with a little bit more transparency in their billing. What are some unexpected benefits as you're going through this process? What are some things that came up you're thinking, wow, I never considered that as a benefit, or I never thought it could do that?
One of the biggest, most pleasant surprises I've seen from it is the ability to survey the ticket and essentially do a satisfaction survey side on every ticket that goes through the system. Whether we still send out surveys to the users themselves, and that's an immensely valuable side of it. But like any other business, the percent of people that fill those out is not always, you know, that's nowhere near 100%, and it's usually in the 20% or sub 20s in most industry sides of that. So you don't get, you want to have a bigger sampling overall. So the AI does give us its summary and the satisfaction of the ticket across all the tickets. So why not 100%? And it obviously can be errant on all those things. It gives you a good idea, a much, much broader idea of how well things are going overall. And if there's trends and those other sides of it, it's like any other business. You want awareness. The sooner you can have the awareness, the better, because you can make changes and you want to be able to measure those things. And so there's just to build on that. So the AI just being able to help with those things and recognize it, because it'll pick up on things like they're reopening the ticket multiple times. We are infringing on the SLA, you know, times, whether it's response time or resolution time or whatever it may be side of it. It's picking up on those and it's giving us those ratings. So even if the person didn't give us a neutral or a negative or even a happy, you know, it was excellent side of it, we're seeing that, you know, we are getting some good samplings on that. And I think that's going to be immensely valable to help us identify the overall trend.
Yeah, I never considered that. And we have an amazing customer success and strategic engagement team. So now help desk is no longer just your IT support. It can also be like your customer and company support. You know, it's really expanding, or it gives an opportunity to expand that customer journey. That's really cool.
Yeah. And those are active on, you know, not only the support desk side, but that's also on, you know, our service delivery team for project work and reoccurring ticket work side of it. So those are just to get an idea again, how well are we doing? Are in those particular areas where we're not seeing as high as we want and should be investigating. And the nice thing is that it can be proactive on our own necessarily and not in a vacuum side of it or fall to the boy, it feels like, or I heard.
Yeah.
Like any other business, it's just trying to give you some data so you can make a better, a more intelligent decision side of where to spend your time or make changes.
I have to ask about data privacy, because I think that's everyone's question about, if you have an AI that's looking at all these different tickets from all these different companies that you're working with, is there a concern about privacy? Is there a concern about any, you know, leakage in data and all that conversation that the AI is having on the back end? What does that sort of look like from a security perspective?
Sure. Yeah, it's a very legitimate question side of it. What we've done at CIT side of it, and this is certainly nothing out there side, is our support desk allows us to integrate into our own Azure OpenAI instance side of those, which again is FedRAMP, and that stays within our, you know, our Azure subscribed tenant space side of it, as well as the vectorized database that is all the information that the AI is using side with it. So from a few different sides of it, one, it's private. We're not using the general model that you go with the ChatGPT to love.
Yeah.
We are no way training that side of it. So, you know, we're happy to supply any information side to say that we are, even if you're under compliance, we are on a very private instance side of it. The other side of it from a general user, as you go through those sides, the way that the AI accesses and uses the data is in a vectorized database, which is, it's not searching by words and letters or those other sides of it. It is in a numeric, you know, vectorized database. It's not clear text. It's not anything you can make sense of. It's looking for pattern recognition and patterns of open and all inside of it within that data set that goes through those things. So, you know, it's not like a password or something like that is a vectorized database side of it. So, albeit you still wouldn't want to train a public model side on those sides, it is inherently, you know, very, very, very secure on how that's handling through those sides on it. When a user is coming into our chatbot side of it, they're not seeing any information inside that vector side outside of their own role-based access side within those sides. They can see our knowledge base. They can see, you know, their ticket information side of it. There's an authorization side within those things that limits would be responded to.
Of course. Do you see any limitations to AI? I mean, where does that human element still need to come into play?
Yeah. The humans still need to make the end decision side of it. I mean, the AI's most powerful role is that of the assistant. I mean, it is to bring that information side of it, but then to ultimately make the contextual call of what needs to happen is best served by a person. You know, I think that there's a multitude. There's two different sides to the help that are to the AI, and sometimes they get rolled together. There's AI and there's automation. Yeah, they work hand in hand in a lot of ways, but still ultimately we want a person driving them both. So for example side, we're engaging a lot of automation that is layered with AI to help identify that an automation is available, but then it's triggering automation of, say, a new user onboard. We have a new person starting, and then when that comes through, there's typically a lot of new steps on every new user onboard side of it. You got to identify, you know, what security permissions they need, what group they need to be in, do they need to share an L-box, what, you know, there's a whole bunch of things, what applications they need. There's a number of different steps on it. Some of them can be very complex and very elaborate, and they can take a lot of time, which again, can be expensive for all parties involved side with it. So by using AI to identify this is a new user onboard request and then triggering that information side of it based on information at the time of request, you can ask those questions. Do you want, what group do they need to be in? Do I need to copy them from an existing user side of it? Are they in the same, you know, roles as somebody else? So I can use that example. Do they need access to the shared mailboxes? When is the start date? We can have then AI trigger automations to start that process, to automatically log in and provision and create and do all those other steps where you'd have to typically go in and log in, find credentials, go through all these steps. We can have it automatically happen. Then it comes back to the engineer to say, here's everything I want to do, confirm that I should, they can review it, say, this is correct, execute on that side of it. Done, it updates the ticket, be responding to the user, it looks great. And if there's anything that needs to be changed, then the support technician can do that. But, you know, if you can take something that is, you know, an hour or 2 hours in time and make that 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge for our customers. That's also huge for us because those technicians now are freed up for more complex, you know, troubleshooting again when it doesn't go well, or when they have a more complex software application that needs to be installed. They can spend their time focusing on that and not clicking through the group memberships and all the tedious things that have to be set up and trying to track a set of checkbox sheet that, you know, is they may forget a step on it and people do those things. So there's a multitude of ways that I think it's just a tremendous value. And it's identifying those to keep those people focused on where there is far more difficult and it's not as cookie cutter through the process side of it. And take those cookie cutter things and automate and have AI identify and help execute those automations and just present those to the technicians. And then everybody's in a much better spot.
Definitely. Well, I want to make sure that we get a chance to talk about anything that you want to share about this topic, but I'm interested in zooming out a little bit because we've got this AI, we're implementing it. It's beautiful. How is the workforce really going to change? I mean, what are skills that these IT professionals are going to need now when they're using more AI and they're using more automation? What does that look like going forward?
Yeah, it's a great question, side with it, and it's ever evolving. So,
of course.
I think as you look at these roles, and this isn't just even the support desk, I think it's pretty much all of our roles in general sides on those, if you're doing any kind of knowledge-based work side of it, is you have to learn how to be the manager of the AI. You need to be an AI orchestrator or AI manager side of it. So as things evolve, it's going to become very likely that you're going to be in charge of a number of different AI agents, and that's what you're going to manage and orchestrate how they perform those tasks. And then you're ultimately looking at the result to come out of those things. So more results focused on your responsibilities and job, and not just like a job description side of it. I think it's going to come through to say, these are the outcomes expected from your position side of it. Here's the tools that you can manage and run through. And these tools will help you create those outcomes. So it's less about you having to do all of those things, but just make sure that they're accomplishing those end games and making the correct contextual and right decision sides for them, as well as evolving with it. Because that's the other important side of this AI, is I think a willingness to learn and continuously learn and evolve with the capabilities of these new tools that are rapidly evolving and continuously enhancing on what they can do. You have to continuously challenge how it can help us do the job even better and do it faster and get the better outcomes coming through those sides of it. There's the need for human API. If you're just taking information from one screen and plugging in another, that's just going to go away. It's not necessary, because the AI is just, that's what it does incredibly well. But AI it doesn't have the contextual side that humans do. And that's, again, having the human in charge of the outcome is incredibly important. You know, the AI isn't going to be able to make that, at least not yet. And it's going to be a while, I think, before it can do those things. But I think you want to put yourself and be comfortable understanding what the AI can do and learn how to maximize the results of those tools. And you'll find yourself in a very strong position, not only in those roles, but pretty much, I think, in the job market going forward. I think that's definitely where it's going.
For sure. Is there anything else you wanted to share on this topic of AI and help desk or IT?
You covered all the really, really good questions.
A lot of it.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I could obviously go on for hours about where I can go from it. But, the end result for me is, again, the augmentative ability of having these tools deliver the service better and faster and more predictably side of it, and then allowing us to do data insights into how we can continuously improve and evolve it to do better is the immediate outcomes that we're looking for and actively leveraging and continuing to learn how to leverage even more and continue to adjust as it comes through. You know, I'm just super excited about what it can do. Very happy with what I've seen so far, but even more excited, I think, for what we haven't got to yet of what it can uncover and help us. So,
yeah, excited for sure. I'm excited too. I'm excited to see how things will grow and change as we move forward. So,
thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com, or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.